At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. Hello, word nerds. How are you doing today? I hope you are having a very good time with whatever you are doing at this very moment. Sitting, staring, watching my face on the YouTube video, that's good. That's a good decision. Thumbs up for that. All right, the first word in this episode is... Oh, my name is Spencer, and this is episode F220. The first word... Why is there food here? The first word in this episode is fricative. F-R-I-C-A-T-I-V-E. This is a noun from 1863. It is a consonant characterized by frictional passage of the expired breath through a narrowing at some point in the vocal tract. Somewhere in here where my vocal cords are and my lips, somewhere in between all that stuff, you can make a fricative sound. Fricative is also an adjective. So it is a consonant characterized by frictional passage of the expired breath. So when you are blowing air out of your mouth and you make a consonant sound, a certain consonant sound, and it's through a narrowing at some point in the vocal tract. And I think I need to look up an example of a fricative. I have definitely heard of this before. But I can't remember which consonants these would be. Okay. Fricatives are consonant sounds produced by partially obstructing the airflow in the vocal tract, creating friction or turbulence as the air passes through. Examples of fricatives in English include the F in fan. So you are constricting the way your breath comes out of your mouth by going making that F sound. The V in vote, very similar. V. The, what is that? The O, thin. The TH, thin. Similar to this. The S in sun. Z in zoo. The sh in ship. The zh in measure. And the H in hat. That one doesn't seem like it's as much of a fricative as the other ones. Yes, you are closing your mouth in some way, but still making a consonant sound. F's, V's, TH's, S, Z, SH, those sorts of things are fricatives. Fricative. There's at least two fricatives in the word fricative. Yes, because it's all about friction, which we are going to talk about in this episode. My sound today shall be tss. I guess that's kind of a fricative. The next word is fricking or frickin. It's an adjective or an adverb from circa 1936. It is often vulgar. Ooh. The synonym is damned. D-A-M-N-E-D. And this is used as an intensive. I feel like the synonym being damned is maybe not right. I think the proper synonym here would be fucking. I think when people are saying fricking, they are not replacing it with, they are not using this to replace the word damned. They're using it to replace the word fucking. Right? It's so much similar. Much more similar than damned. It's an alternative of frigging, F-R-I-G-G, which is going to be not in the next episode, but probably the one after that, if it's going to be in here at all. Is it? Where is it? I don't know. No, it's not even in the dictionary. Frigging? Frigging is not in the dictionary? That's a present part of a version of frig. So I guess we're going to see frig. Ah, there we go. Ooh, okay, hello. That's a word I was not really aware of. Okay, that'll be in the next episode. Yes, and actually, the definition for frig seems a lot more similar to the word fuck than damn. So, dictionary, get your stuff right. All right, frigging. I like to say this sometimes. I like to say non-swear words in place of swear words. It's always fun. See if you can get creative. What's your favorite fake swear word? You can email me, leave a voicemail, do all those things. Psst. Now we have the word friction, noun from 1704. Number 1A, the rubbing of one body against another. Ooh. This isn't necessarily talking about human bodies or even animal bodies rubbing up against each other. This could be anything, any just thing rubbing up against another thing. I can rub my hands together and make some friction. I can rub my hand on the paper. I can rub my hand on this fabric. All those different sorts of things. One thing rubbing up against another thing, it creates friction. But if we are using the human or animal body example, it reminds me of, there was an old cartoon, well, I guess it was from the 80s, when I was a child, there was a cartoon, I think it was called Where Did I Come From? And it was all about, you know, it was a cartoon made for younger people to learn about reproduction and, you know, sex and babies and all those sorts of things. And to describe sex, there was a visual, you know, they used the trope of when two people love each other very much, they will rub their bodies together. I think that's how it was described. And there was an animation of two cats. They were using cats in place of humans because, you know, it's less graphic that way. And I just remember there were two cats that were just vertically just rubbing up and down against each other like that. And, you know, it's not exactly correct, but it's close, I guess. I wonder if that's on YouTube. Ooh, let's look. Let's look for, we're going to call it, where did, not dud, oh crap, my fingers are off on the keyboards. Now I've lost all everything. Where did I come? Oh, Christ, the stupid letters. Oh, it was right there. Where did I come from? Book. Oh, but I don't want the book. I want the, here we go. I mean, it's based on a book. Oh boy. Yes. The full educational film. It's 29 minutes. Is this the thing? Is this it? Oh my gosh. We found it. Oh my God. Yes, this is it. I remember all of this. All right. Well, that is something I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes for sure. So you can watch this half hour old animation. Does it say when it's from? Let's see. It is from 1985. Yep. I was 5. All right. So, that was all about friction, bodies rubbing up against each other. But now we have 1B, the force that resists relative motion between two bodies in contact. So in physics, if you ever took physics in college, high school, whatever, which I never did, you will learn about the force of friction. And it is the thing that makes it harder for things to rub up against each other. When there's more friction, for whatever reason, things are dry, things are rough, whatever, then they have a harder time rubbing up against each other. When there is, and when there's less friction, obviously they move much more smoothly. Like when you want the wheels to go really well, you will lube it up, and so there's less friction in that situation. When your door is squeaking, there's a lot of friction, so you put some WD-40 on that, which I need to do on a door at home, to get rid of that squeak. You make there be less friction. Okay, now we got number two. The clashing between two persons or parties of opposed views. The synonym is the word disagreement. Right now, as I am speaking, which is, I shall give you some context. It is July 3rd, 7.05 a.m. Central Time, and there is a lot of friction going on in the House and the Senate because this is when they are voting on the quote-unquote big beautiful bill, which I think is the wrong title because they are about to vote to get rid of most of Medicare and Medicaid and a whole lot of other stupid bad things like cutting taxes for people who already don't pay a lot in taxes. And yeah, there's a lot of friction in the whole country because people are really, really angry about this because literally people could die. Millions of people are not going to have health insurance and may die because of these people. So there's a lot of friction going on politically right now. And we are very, very angry, and it's like, why, what are you doing? What are you doing? People, come on. Number three, sound produced by the movement of air through a narrow constriction in the mouth or glottis. So the sound that I make, the f, v, sh, t, v, z, z, h, all of those sounds are friction sounds. Well, we know that they are fricatives, so you can also say they're frictions, maybe. Frictionless is an adjective. And what? Frictionlessly is an adverb. You are doing an action frictionlessly. There's no friction in that situation. That's a weird adverb. Okay, so this word, I don't fully understand this etymology exactly. I'll just read it as it says. It says earlier, comma, therapeutic rubbing of the limbs. This is from Middle French, Latin, frictio, fricare, that's the verb, which means to rub, akin to the Latin friare, which means to crumble, which I think we learned about in the previous episode. There was something, maybe not. I'm mixing up things. Perhaps to the Sanskrit word brinanti, which means they injure. Interesting. So if there's a lot of friction, maybe they get injured and they crumble? I don't know. But obviously, the Latin verb fricare means to rub, so that one makes a lot of sense. But I don't understand this, the first part. Earlier, therapeutic rubbing of the limbs. So, yeah, I mean, if there's friction, obviously, when you're rubbing the limbs, especially in a massage situation, but I don't understand the wording of that. Okay. Moving on to frictional, or just frictional, two syllables. I prefer the three-syllable version, frictional. Adjective from 1850. Number one, of or relating to friction. Number two, moved or produced by friction. Frictionally is an adverb. What is produced by friction? Maybe a spark. That spark was created frictionally because you were rubbing, hitting the stones together or rubbing the rope on the thing and the, you know, this, whatever you got to do to make the fires. I don't know. I don't know how to make the fires. Friction clutch. Two words, noun from circa 1842. This is a clutch, probably in a vehicle, in which connection is made through sliding friction. And, yep, I guess it requires friction to move that clutch around. Chick, 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 chick. Friction drive. Maybe once you use the friction clutch, you will put your car in friction drive. Maybe, I don't know, let's read it. Noun from 1907. A power transmission system that transmits motion by surface friction instead of teeth. Okay, well, I don't fully understand this, but I understand it enough to get that one version is using friction, things rubbing up against each other, bodies, my hands, clappy, clappy, rubby, rubby. What is happening? Or the other version that's not friction drive would be using teeth, where things clamp into each other, kind of. They work by teeth in other teeth, maybe gears or something. I don't know. I don't have a visual.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Cool. Friction tape. Two words. Noun from 1920. This is a usually cloth tape impregnated with water-resistant insulating material and an adhesive, and used especially to protect, insulate, and support electrical conductory. What's the conductors? Electrical conductors. So, why is it called friction tape? Cloth tape, they've put in water-resistant insulating material into this cloth tape, cloth tape, and also they put in adhesive to make it a tape. And used especially to protect, insulate, and support electrical conductors. But I don't understand the friction part. How are they using friction to get the water-resistant insulating material in there, or the adhesive, or maybe it is an adhesive, it is a tape, because there's so much friction that it can't move? I'm not so sure. But, you know, electrical things, you gotta protect them so the electricity doesn't go where it's not supposed to go and it stays inside the friction tape. All right, we are done with the friction words. I shall go. Friday is the next word. Friday with a capital F. Friday. Some people say Friday. 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 Is this the first day of the week we've seen? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is the earliest alphabetically. Maybe we should reorder the days of the week alphabetically. What would it be? This is a hard thing for my brain to do in the moment. We got Friday. And then I have to close my eyes to do this. And then, let's see. Tuesday is going to be at the end. Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday is at the end. Thursday is right in between there, so it would be Sunday, Saturday, Thursday, Tuesday. But Wednesday's even after that, so we got Wednesday way back there. We got Monday before Saturday. What am I missing? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So is that it? So it'd be Friday, Monday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think that's it. I got all seven. Is there seven? There's seven. All right, so a couple of things in my brain. Just this morning, I was listening to the episode that aired today. What is it again? July 3rd. And there was an abbreviation, an FR abbreviation, which was for Friday. And just yesterday, I recorded there was another Friday. There was another abbreviation, FRI. They added a third letter to the abbreviation, and that is also for Friday. And now, today, we have the full word Friday. So today I am recording this. It is not Friday, but it is kind of a Friday because tomorrow is the 4th of July, and so I do not have to work, so it is a Friday. This is a noun from before the 12th century. It is the sixth day of the week. What? Okay. Now, actually, I take that back. I was frustrated because I was thinking of something else. I got it wrong. But yes, to some people, it is the sixth day of the week, if the week starts on Sunday. But there are many people around the world whose week starts on Monday, so then Friday would be the fifth day of the week. They always put Saturday and Sunday at the end of the calendar. But a lot of people, like me, put Sunday at the beginning and then Saturday at the end. So, okay, it is the sixth day of the week for many people, not all people. Fridays is an adverb. How is that an adverb? You did it Fridays? Okay, maybe there's some context. But what I'm really curious about is the etymology. Because there is some interesting etymology for the days of the week. This is from Old English, Frigdag. I think that's what I'm going to start calling it. Frigdag. That is akin to the Old High German Freitag, which means Friday. So Frigdag is from Frig with a capital F, which means Frigga. And then Dag, D-A-E-G, means day. That is the prehistoric translation of the Latin Dies Veneris, Veneris, which means Venus's day. So is Frigga Venus? We got to look this up. Frigga has a capital F, by the way. And I know that some of these come from the Norse gods, which Frigga looks like they might be. Like Thursday was Thor's day. So Frigga, also known as Frigg, is a prominent figure in Norse mythology known as the wife of Odin. That was the name I was trying to think of yesterday. Odin, I think that's Wednesday, right? And of course, the book and show American Gods teaches you all of this stuff. She was also the queen of the Aesir gods in Asgard. She is associated with marriage, motherhood, prophecy, and clairvoyance. But in the Marvel Universe, Frigga is a powerful Asgardian queen, mother of Thor, and adopted mother of Loki, and is portrayed as a wise, skilled sorceress, according to fandom. Okay, so Friday is Frigga's day, the day for this queen of Asgard, and it would make sense. Are we going to see Frigga in here? Yes, in the next episode, Frigga will be there. And in the previous episode, we had a couple other Norse gods. We had Frey and Freya. Norse god and goddess. And so Frigga is probably the Norse equivalent of Venus, which is what it was, right? Venus's day. So Friday is the day for these powerful women, basically. I don't know why they put it on the sixth day of the week. That's what they did. But yes, fascinating stuff. I don't know. Maybe I should put a link in the show notes for Friday, or maybe the days of the week or something. It's just interesting. Like, this is just a day, a word that we use all the time, and we just don't even really think about consciously. Why is this word this word? Where does it come from? Maybe we should put some more meaning behind these things in our day-to-day life. And, you know, now I shall call it Frigadeg. Frigadeg. All right, moving on to fridge. You can spell this F-R-I-D-G-E or just F-R-I-G. It is a noun from 1926, and the synonym is refrigerator. Sometimes you just call it a fridge. Now this is interesting. Refrigerator is spelled right in the middle. It's F-R-I-G, but fridge, the first spelling is F-R-I-D-G-E. Why did we do that? Why did we put a D in there? But of course, obviously you can also spell it F-R-I-G, which is still pronounced fridge because it's a refrigerator. Refrigerator. All right, well, we can't talk about refrigerators until we get to the R's. Go to the fridge. What a weird word. Fridge. Fridge. Fridge? Fridge day. Now we have fried. Adjective from 1926. This is my favorite food. Fried. Anything fried is my favorite foods. Well, look at my sleeves. They're way off. There we go. Fixed it. So, the synonyms for fried has nothing to do with food, though. The synonyms are intoxicated and high. If you are maybe smoking a little bit of the cannabis, maybe you will get fried. Oh, I'm so fried, man. Oh, man, I feel like I was put in a bucket of hot oil, and now I'm fried. Hey, 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 hey. What if, like, there's, like, another person controlling me, and I'm just, like, a body and stuff? That was a terrible fried thought. Fried cake is next. Fried cake? I mean, I know that they do fried Oreos and fried Snickers, fried Twinkies, fried all that stuff, but fried cake? Has anybody fried a cake? Noun from 1836. The synonyms are, you know, also one of my favorite things. Donut and cruller. It's a fried cake. It's like a cakey, doughy thing that you fry and you eat it. And man, I was a little tempted to pick up a donut this morning, but I didn't. I said, nope, I'm being good. I'm being healthy. I'm eating a little less food and more healthy food, less bad food. But boy, I want a good fried cake. I'm going to go to the donut store and say, can I have one fried cake, please? And they're going to be like, what? What's a fried cake? You know, those cakes, the fried that you sell here. Fry up me a cake. Next is fried rice. Two words. Noun from 1958. This is a dish of boiled or steamed rice. Well, that's weird because it's called fried rice. But the rice is boiled or steamed. But wait, there's more. This boiled or steamed rice that is stir-fried, typically with soy sauce, beaten egg, chopped meat, and vegetables. So you got to cook the rice first. That's why it's boiled or steamed. And then you recook it with all this other stuff. The veggies, the meats, the egg, the soy sauce, maybe tofu, and I think that's about it. You put it all together, you put it on a hot pan, stir fry it up, and it sizzles, and then you got fried rice. You don't have to put in egg. Like me, you say, no egg, please. I don't want the egg. I also don't want the meats. Give me more veggies and get me tofu. That's the fried rice that I would like. I haven't had a fried rice in a while. So I once was at a restaurant, and they made the fried rice right in front of us, right at our table. It was not one of the tables that had a hot thing that you could cook on. They brought out, I guess, the really, really hot pan, and then they just put the stuff all up on there, and it just cooked it up right there. It was just in a few minutes. We had a freshly made fried rice. That was something, a sight to see, a sight for sore eyes. Now we have the word friend. This is the last word. We got two forms. Friend. Noun from before the 12th century. Number 1A. One attached to another by affection or esteem. I want a little bit of information. I want the backstory. I want to know what went on in the lexicographer's brain on how to decide what to write for that definition. It's an interesting definition. It's accurate, but the one attached to another, that's the part that I think is interesting. You are attached. You're not physically attached, but you're connected in some way to your friend. You are connected by affection or esteem. I have affection for you. I have esteem. I look up to you. I am proud of you. I enjoy the things that you do. So we are friends. Interesting definition. 1B, the synonym is acquaintance. You know, I tend to use those words to mean different things, but they're definitely similar. 2A, one that is not hostile. So this is like What's the context? I'm thinking of military, but we can add a little bit more to this situation with 2B, one that is of the same nation, party, or group. So if you are part of the same group, the same thing, the same clan, tribe, party, country, you are probably not going to be hostile to each other. Kind of. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you're not going to be hostile to each other, so you're friends. Friendly fire in the military is when you're shooting on your own people. Maybe accidentally, maybe not. In that case, it is definitely hostile. Number three, one that favors or promotes something. What might you be promoting or favoring? It is a charity. One that favors or promotes a charity. So you are a friend to the charity because you are supporting them and you're trying to get them to help them raise money and such, because it's for a very good cause. And that cause is putting donuts in my mouth. Number four, a favored companion. I have lots of companions here with me today. I have a whole group of companions, but this one right over here, that is my favored companion, my favorite, and I favor them over all the other companions. So they are my friend. In The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, there were 9 companions, and I think that Sam and Frodo, they were each other's favored companions, so they were friends. Number five is capitalized, and this is a member of a Christian sect that stresses inner light, rejects sacraments, and an ordained ministry. They reject sacraments and an ordained ministry, and they also oppose war. They are friends. Called also Quaker. Quaker? Are the Quaker peoples known as friends? I was not aware of this. I have to look this up. Let's see. Where's the Q? Quaker friend. Friends. Interesting. Quakers, also known as Religious Society of Friends, are a Christian group that originated in England in the 17th century. The term Quaker was initially a derogatory nickname, but members now embrace it alongside the formal name Friends. I don't know if I've ever heard that they were friends. They were called Friends. Maybe I should put a link for Quakerism in the show notes. And it's interesting how it was a derogatory nickname, Quaker, and now that's just what they use, that's just what they say, that's what they are teaching you in school. I remember learning about Quakers when I was in elementary school, and I hear people say, I'm a Quaker. But did you know that it was a derogatory nickname, and you're actually just a friend? I want to know why are they using the word friend? We have some other forms. Friendless is an adjective. Oh, that is very sad. I'm so friendless. I have no more friends. They have all left me. They said, no, we don't want to be your friend anymore. We don't want to be a Quaker to you. Friendless. Very sad. Friendlessness is a noun. Oh, there's a phrase. Be friends with. And that means to have a friendship or friendly relationship with. Be friends with. Decided to put that in the book, I guess. Be friends. Can I be friends with you? Will you be my friend? Can we have a friendship or a friendly relationship with me today, please? Because I'm friendless. I really need some friends. Be friends with me. I'm coming to get you, Barbara. All right. That was friend. All of the definitions for the first form of friend. And of course, we need to look at the etymology. Let's see. This is from Middle English, friend, from Old English, freund, akin to the Old High German freund, which means friend. From the Old English, freon, which means to love. From freo, which means free. Oh, so is it like you are free to love whoever you want? Are you having free love? Are you a free person who gets to love because you're free? Interesting. Obviously, the love part of the etymology makes a whole lot of sense because you probably love your friend to some degree in some form. That's why they would be your friend, because you are having a friendly relationship with them. You have affection or esteem for them. Esteem in a steam choo-choo train, maybe. Maybe you were made friends because of trains. Well, let's now move on to the very last word. It's the second form of friend. This one is a transitive verb from the 13th century. So it's the action of friending people. Number one, to act as the friend of. The synonym is befriend. Number two, to include in a list of designated friends on a person's social networking site. Wow, that is actually here. I wasn't sure if it would be. And, you know, who you are including, it's just someone. To include someone in a list of designated friends on your social networking site. Yes, I would like to friend you. Can we be friends on the social networking site called Friendster? Please, I need more friends. The action of friending. I have definitely friended people over the social networking sites that I've never met before. I mean, the first one that I can think of related to this podcast wasn't through social networking. It was through podcasting. But of course, past guest Josh Pilch, I would definitely say we are friends. And, you know, then when you meet people, maybe through your fan community, you become friends on your social networking thing. And then, you know, you see each other posts and you comment and you message and you do all those things. And you're like, hey, we're kind of friends from across the world. Across the world, there are friends being made. Friends. I feel like I should talk about friends for a second. I got a number of friends out there in the world. You know, I still have friends from when I was a young tyke, but as you get older and everybody, you know, becomes an adult and they have their lives and their jobs and their families and their stuff and all the stuff that goes along with it, you just naturally don't spend as much time with your friends. For some people, they still do spend a lot of time with them, but for other people, you got to make a little bit more of an effort. And I am definitely guilty of not putting as much effort into that, because largely because I'm busy, and also because I don't know. I'm a very insular, sort of introverted kind of person, and I just tend to just do my own thing, I guess. And that's, you know, these are relationships. You got to work at them. You got to put some effort into them so to keep it going and all that stuff. So, hey, sorry I'm not putting as much effort into those friendly things, but at times I shall try to be better. I should make some plans, I guess. Shouldn't I? I should probably do that. I don't want to, like, I will say my oldest friend who I really should get on this podcast. My oldest friend in the world is Gabe. We literally have been friends since we were zero. He was born a few months before I was, and our families were already friends because we have older sisters. And so when I came around, when I was birthed, we just were friends. We've been part of each other's lives literally since I was born. So yes, that is what I always like to say, that we've been friends since we were zero. And we just hung out, actually, at the Weird Al show. He took my extra ticket, and it was fun. Fun sitting under umbrellas in the rain. I'm sure he did not enjoy that at all. All right. Well, I need to pick a word of the episode, and it's going to be one of these words, which are fricative, fricking, friction, frictional, friction clutch, friction drive, friction tape, Friday, fridge, fried, fried cake, fried rice, friend, and friend. There's a very funny Flight of the Conchords song about friends. Yes, that is a funny song. Let's see. Do I pick friend as the word of the episode, or do I pick fried cake as the word of the episode? If you give me a fried cake, you're gonna be my friend. I'll pick friend as the word of the episode. But of course, my song, I had to get fried cake in there somehow. Also fried rice. Also, yay for Friday. Yay! Fry-yay! All right. Oh, I will quickly tell you about another movie that I watched, which was 28 years later. There were some memes going around that showed four movie posters all in one, and it started with 28 Days, the Sandra Bullock movie, and then 28 Days Later, and then 28 Weeks Later, and then 28 Years Later, the new zombie horror movie. And I can't really give you a great opinion about this movie because when I watched it, I fell asleep a few times because just the night before I had come back from my work trip overseas and I had jet lag. So I definitely was falling asleep. I have heard maybe mixed reviews. I think I've heard mostly good reviews about it. But I think some people are like, eh, it's fine, you know, not as good as the other ones. But this is the beginning of a new trilogy, so there's going to be two more 28 Years Later movies coming out, and what are they going to call them? 28 Years Later plus a day? Plus 2 days? How are they going to work this out? I don't know. But, you know, it's an interesting concept. I think that they used iPhones in some of it. I really think I need to see it again to have a better opinion because I missed chunks. I just for sure missed like, hey, how did we get to this situation? Yeah, I was a little confused. But, you know, it's an interesting concept of, you know, 28 years down the road of a zombie apocalypse, what's life gonna be like? Can't wait to find out. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. Friends, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone, and getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so, of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. go to zencaster.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.